G'day everybody and welcome to the show. Now today we've got Brad Thornton back. How are you going, Brad?
I'm very well. How are you, Peter?
Yeah, good, mate. Good. We've been keeping in contact. There's been quite a bit of stuff happening on both ends. Today, what we'd like to do, both of us, for the viewers and the listeners, is go into, because we were talking about this the other day, and there is a lot to it, the different levels of manipulation going on, not just really in our face, that could be behind the scenes, if you're not picking up on it, but even behind the scenes of the beings that are doing that, and further back again. We got talking about this even more once you got back from the United States. Which I found fascinating with what you experienced and what happened to you over there. And other people have said that it's very, what you've described to me is very similar, which I'll say after you've said a bit about it. So would you like to just give the listeners and the viewers a bit of, you know, just go into a bit of what happened over in the States? And you, when did you go over there? About 2-3 weeks ago, was it?
It was about 2 weeks ago that we got back. We're over there for 2 weeks. And it was my first time over there by normal plane, I guess you could say.
Not Black Ops style or ET style?
Look, the energy there was interesting. It was a lot, and I'm not sure where it was coming from, whether it was generated or if it's just a, if it's the resonance of the group of people over there. You know, the amount of fear was very, very strong. Like, I'd wake up in the morning and just be in total fear with no real reason to be in that fear, because I'm not much, you know, I'm not afraid of much. And what happened was, I think it was on the first night, my wife woke up and saw this shadow person. Looked like the shape of a human, but it was a black shadow. Walked towards her and then jumped into the bed beside me. And then she went back to sleep, but she wasn't sure what it was, and I didn't, you know, feel anything. But it was on the one of the Friday, yeah, it was the Friday of the first week that we were there, that you know, we slept well the night before, but after being up for like 3 hours, all of a sudden I couldn't keep my eyes open. I was literally drained of energy. We got back in the car and we're driving out to Chakra Shack at I'm not sure where it is. It's on the beach somewhere, essentially.
Is it that around LA area?
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
And whilst we were driving there, I couldn't shake whatever it was, and I really focused on what it was, and what I saw was this black alien creature-looking thing that was attached to my back. And look, I know this sounds weird.
Oh, yeah, I get you, man. So, yeah, to people out there, they'll be like, this dude's lost it. But no, I know what you're saying, man. A lot of other people will get what you're saying, too.
Yeah. So I kicked it off me, but I saw that it jumped over and latched onto my wife. Now, after I kicked it off me, I felt fine.
And so you felt like a weight had been lifted off you, that heavy frequency of just feeling like fatigued, I guess, like crap.
Yeah, just totally drained of energy. Yeah. Like I'd been awake for days, couldn't keep my eyes open. Now, the thing was that my wife was driving the car, so then she started to fall asleep almost instantaneously, and I had to battle to keep her awake, because we're on the freeway, you know, six lanes of freeway.
And that's huge, eh? Over here it's not that big. I think four is the biggest we get over here.
Exactly. It took a bit to get it off her. Eventually we got rid of it, but it wasn't until after we got home got back to the motel room. And but it was on the way back, we're driving back, and we're going past these hills that were on the right-hand side, that I saw, it must have been at least 100 or more of these bigger creatures that looked the same, but they were running up the hill. And what they were running from, I don't know, or where they were running to, I'm not sure. I only saw it for like a split second, and it wasn't like in the mind's eye type thing where you see the, you know, the video.
You were seeing it.
Yeah, I was literally seeing
with
it.
With the eyes you're using now to look at me on the screen, that's yep. How you're perceiving it. Yeah, yeah.
So that was one of the things that happened. And then it was, it was Friday night or Saturday night, that my wife woke up and saw this red light on the ceiling, and it was there, I don't know, so for at least 15 minutes it was there.
What, just like an orb, or was it just a weird ass light just out of nothing, just there?
Yeah, just a small red light.
Yep.
Not sure what it was. Like, I've heard that it could be a surveillance thing, you know, like a some type of technology. Then when we got to Vegas, which was in the second week, it was, I think it was the first or second night that I woke up throughout the night, and then I closed my eyes and I could see I was actually taken out to space, just outside the Earth's orbit. And I could see these triangular-looking craft, and they didn't have straight edges, they were curved edges, they were white-looking craft, they had a blue light hue type thing. So
it was sort of a beautiful blue, like a nice blue to look at?
Yeah.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Which normally they're associated with, and I don't like to use the term good and bad guys, because, yeah, you know, there's beings that are in alignment with humanity and there's beings that aren't.
Yeah.
And it just is. It's just who they are.
That's the way it is, yeah. Yeah.
So the blue is normally associated with the good guys.
But this case, it wasn't this time, sort of. Yeah.
Yeah. What I saw was these ships were able to replicate themselves. So I saw one ship and then all of a sudden it became two.
So it'd sort of be like how you've got a cell and then the cell will divide and make another one, but the cells are still whole.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But then I was taken on board, but it wasn't a craft as such. It was a being that was making itself look like a craft. And there were other beings actually inside it that looked like good guys, and
would you mind describing what you saw, like the types of beings, like
okay, they look like probably about 4 or 5 foot, more of a rounded type head. More of a bluey-grey skin. That's what they portrayed themselves to look like.
Yeah, yep.
And it was only after, through questioning, that I found out who these guys, what their intent was. And they were there, they are there to manipulate and control humanity.
So these guys would be one of the dudes we're talking about further behind the scenes than what people think.
Yep.
Yeah.
Look, I hadn't seen them before. And they called themselves, and this is the weird thing, they called themselves the Brown Cowboys. So what they did was they took off the mask that they were wearing or the suit that they were wearing, and they looked different. So one of their heads were like, they were brown looking beings, so like a more of a darker brown. Their heads looked like a praying mantis type head.
All right, yeah, yeah.
And I said to one of them that they've got to leave humanity alone and let humanity evolve naturally, just like they've been allowed to evolve naturally. And so after I sort of came back into my body, I got up and drew the picture and wrote down, you know, all the information that I could about them. But yeah, they're one of the beings that are behind the scenes that are sort of controlling humanity or manipulating humanity.
Are they one of the dudes you end up strangling?
Yeah, that's one. And look, I've got to say, I'm not a violent person.
But obviously something had to have happened for, because that's not you, but something had to have happened for that to happen.
Sure, yep. Last thing I remember is I had my hand around one of the beings' throat, and that's when I was telling him to leave humanity alone.
And you can't remember what sort of provoked you to do that, or what they said or did to sort of piss you off to act that way?
But that was just one of, you know, one of the few things that happened while we were over there. There was a lot of there was quite a few attacks, energetic attacks that occurred. But what I noticed, and I don't watch a whole lot of TV, but what I noticed was while I was over there was the footage on the news about the plane that's, you know, gone missing, and how it was pretty much on the news 24 hours a day, and I had a whole lot of theories running and no real...
See, from what I've heard too is that this was almost on the telly 24/7 over there.
Yeah, exactly.
And the only time we hear about it was at the news time, and it seems like, from what I'm understanding, I've got many friends that are American, that Americans, and I haven't got anything against them, but it seems like over there, the entertainment media industry will play more stuff like that to sort of drive up the fear and the go-ahead for whatever agenda we're here. We sort of just don't give a shit. Like, I can remember hearing about some of the stuff that the theories with the planes that were happening here in Australia from Americans before it was even on TV here. So, and this is like coming from our own country.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So this is like where, you know, that's trippy. America's getting this info before us. And they've got a lot of television coverage about this plane, which I just don't, you know, I haven't put much thought into it. I just knew the first time I looked at it, there was something dodgy about the story altogether. And I've got, you know, a hell of a lot going on, so I haven't focused on it too much. Although there's something trippy about lately. I had somebody send me about the 20 computer scientists or whatever. But it was really weird when you were saying that too, that there was a lot of coverage. And one thing that I've thought about is, like here, what we've got 24 million in Australia? It's something like that, isn't it? 23, 24, maybe 25 million on a landmass almost the size of America. So, but then you've got America with 350, I don't know, 300 plus million easy on the same landmass of Australia. And I'm thinking, well, when you've got all those energies in such a, you know, we think about China. I think they've got a billion in just their little area. Frequency sort of, you know, the vibration around the air is a lot different. And I was thinking, well, it could have something to do with it might not just having so much more population in an area the same size. And don't get me wrong, we've got, you know, we've got so-called gangbangers here and drugs going on and rape and crime and all that. The only difference is that we haven't got as much guns. There's not as much gun crime here, though there is a lot of gun crime here. But compared to America, it's you know, absolutely nothing, and not everyone here is packing a gat. So it's different, but then, you know, do you know what I'm saying? Just having more population in that area, could that within itself just have an effect like this? But, you know, then you've got to take into account, like you said, the way the media was over there, and they probably wouldn't notice unless they came to Australia. They'd be like, geez, you know, there's just TV shows on. Half of them are American soaps here that are on telly here. And we're sort of just a lot more chilled back here. So, like you were saying before, how it's sort of like there's a resonance frequency or something going on. And we talked about that, like, as if there could be a target frequency there, which could be done, some say, by the Illuminati. But further back, that's implemented by something higher up.
Yeah.
But it's sort of one of those things where, you know, it's just a lot of theories, but I just find talking to you, and I've talked to another three people lately that have been there, and they all say very similar stuff to what you're saying about... I think you were saying too, as well as another person I spoke to, they couldn't eat for 2 to 3 days there because you just didn't want to eat because of sort of the anxiety feeling.
Yeah, definitely. While I was in America, I actually lost weight. Most of the times I couldn't eat until, you know, like the afternoon, just due to the level of anxiety and fear. And what's interesting to note is that if you put a person in a state of fear and anxiety, that they can be controlled more easily.
Yeah.
So maybe that's something to look at as well. But while I was there, I was told to that I needed to write a book about the level of control and manipulation that exists on the planet and also off the planet, because it goes back, as you say, it goes back even further. It's not just the Illuminati. They're really just the...
And it's not just reptilians either. It's...
No.
Although some are good and some are, you know, some are into service mode and some are not. But like you and me know, it's like, yeah, there's the interdimensional aspect with some of these reptilian beings, but then there's others, which we've both had experiences with, where you see this is where... Like I've said, as crazy as it sounds, I think really the reptilians are being manipulated by something beyond them, and they're used as a vehicle to come in here.
Yeah.
So, yeah, going to the levels and how this has come to you about the book. Because I think it's a great idea, especially the outcome of where you go with it.
Yeah, well, I guess before we could sort of go into it, I'd like to say that it's up to the individual to believe what they choose to believe. Some of the information that we may discuss is... could be controversial in a sense, especially when you look at religion and how it's been set up. And the best advice I could give is really start and think for yourself. Don't just believe what's been given to you via the, you know, the news or the TV. Or
even us.
Yeah, exactly. Think for yourself. Ask questions. That's the important thing. You know, I was told always ask the important questions. But I guess the levels of control, and I guess we're going to not so much detail, but briefly go over them. There'll be more, we'll go further into detail in the book. But we'll start off with the whole money, you know. What is money? It's pieces of paper and plastic with images on them. It's not really worth anything, although we give it value, but really it has no value. And whilst I don't think it was actually originated as a form of control, but it's been used as a form of control now.
Sort of incorporated into that agenda, and it's like, hey, we've got something here that we can do a hell of a lot with,
And how they use it to distract people, because people are trying to survive and make an income. it doesn't have to be that way. There is technologies out there that could make life dramatically different and easier. Technologies that would eradicate the need for oil, coal, and have your own electricity in the house. It's connected to the house. It doesn't cost anything to run. The same technology could be used in electric vehicles. The technology's out there.
And there's so many types and so many inventors to come forward. There's technology so-called where you can rip the energy from the fabric of space, and apparently a square centimetre is enough to run the Earth for a whole day in terms of power usage. And then there's, you know, different forms of Tesla technology where it could be wireless. Yep. And distributed around. Something I'm actually writing, I've wrote in the book that's about to come out soon of mine, was there was an incident, I think, in the 70s or 80s, and my father was at a service station. And somehow he got talking to a bloke, and the bloke had a bloody hydrogen motor, or the engine ran off hydrogen in the car. And he, as I said, you know, these 70s or early 80s, and my dad's like, you know, this is pretty, you know, showing you, it's just bloody water, and it, somehow it had a converter, everything was in it. And he goes, I'm on the way to Sydney. First off, he said, everybody in a couple of years is going to be driving with one of these. That's like shit, you know, like, you know, he saw it. And he's, you know, a pretty smart bloke, me dad. He's cop, you know, for many years. And they got talking, and he's, yeah, I'm on the way to Sydney, I think from Adelaide or somewhere in South Australia. So, you know, he's driving a fair way. And he had the patents and the all the stuff to do with the invention. And he's like, I'm going up to Sydney to sell it off to... He didn't say who, but he's selling it off. And apparently it's going to be going into the cars and all that. Well, we never hear about it. And then over the years, I've heard so many similar stories in America and England, almost identical. And there's many different ways you can get hydrogen and break it down and, you know, get different types of fuel or whatever for it. But that's something where, you know, this comes into play with what you're saying, where what will happen is one of the big energy companies or somebody behind the scenes will get that device and shelve it, give the dude a shitload of money, and they'll say all they want, oh, yeah, mate, we're going to be putting this in Fords, Holdens, you know, everything we're going to put it in. No, we're just talking shit, so we can get this in, you can get a heap of money, and we can shelve it. And it's not really, like, you know, it's not the device itself, it's that they make money off, it's the how they run. So you buy a car, 30-40 grand, but how much fuel, petrol and oil, is that car going to use over the life of the car? That's where they make the money.
Exactly.
Same with the gas and electricity companies. It's not the plants or the bloody wiring or the pipes. It's giving you your monthly or 3-monthly bill for the rest of your life on something that's going to pollute, where we've got free energies that won't give off, you know, carbon emissions. Nah, we'll give this. And that's where they make a lot of the money, and people don't really think about that. And then they say, well, if they've got this technology, why don't, and they've bought it from people, why don't they introduce it and make money? And it's because they won't get the monthly or 3-weekly
exactly
income, because this device does not need to be, you know, fuel. It's just bang, there you go, Bob's your uncle, and you're right.
Yeah. So that's part of the control, and it's something to look at. And I ask people to look at that. I was recently shown the plans for a quantum generator. It was sourced on through some people I know, so it's open source now, so you can actually, via the plans, you can build your own quantum generator. Uses, I think the output's quite good. It has an input of, I think, 1 kilowatt, but that's supplied by the
unit. The device, just to get it cracking.
The other forms of control is the media, through the news, in TV shows, if you pay attention, you notice that some of the shows have an agenda that they...
It happened the other day. I just had to turn it, like, I get up in the morning, I watch 10 minutes of news and that's it. And I can't even remember what it was about that I told you, but the bloody newsreader contradicted her end statement, like, at the end of her statement of what she said at the start. And I'm thinking, is she even knowing or even absorbing what she's reading as she's reading it? And I was just like, oh, you know, just turn off the telly, walk off, and just like, fuck, mate. You know, it's just ridiculous. But you're exactly right. And yeah, go into that a bit about the media, because it is a big thing where everybody's watching a lot of TV and they go to 4 or 5 channels to get their news. And it's every channel you can flick over at the same time, and it's almost the same stories.
So it's controlled, and it's used to put forward agendas, so to control people. So if they want to sway the population in a certain area, there will be shows that have agendas that actually push people towards that outcome of what they want. The news, for people that are sensitive to energy, you can feel the energy coming from either the TV shows or the news. The news is very negative energy. There's a lot of fear and anxiety that comes from that. It's hard to explain.
Well, energy and intent can affect us on so many ways that people have got no idea.
Exactly.
Especially that are in this field, unless they've experienced the intent of the energy or the thought that can attract or manifest or connect things up in a way. And it all started with the thought or intent. So behind intent's a lot of energy. And if their intent is a certain agenda for the day, and they've got it broadcasted on so many television sets and so many lines of, you know, radio frequency waves, that can do a lot of stuff, and the average Joe just doesn't understand that.
It has a lot to do with the resonance fields that it creates. And because humans can create their own reality, individually and collectively, but it's more the collective stuff that we're looking at. And because there is, I'm having a shocking moment at the moment. My memory's gone, my mind's gone blank.
No, you're right. It happens a lot to me, man.
I'm going to go off on a little bit of a tangent, but because humans can create the reality, and collectively we can create a reality also, and because there's many timelines that exist, and through creating the reality, it puts us into a timeline that matches that resonance field. So if there's a collective, if the resonance field of fear is actually, if it's the strongest field, then matches that timeline of the fear and, you know, anxiety and destruction and all that sort of stuff that gets portrayed. But the solution to that is to move from the mind, because the mind always tries to put things in little boxes to try and to make it, I guess, appear normal. But if we move into the heart and start and feel what's really happening, that's the key. And what I was told was that unity through unconditional love is the way forward for humanity.
Well, the key to it is unconditional love.
Yeah.
And don't get us wrong, it's not like we're trying to do a fear-mongering show, but I think, like we said the other day, it's best for people to be aware, or at least not even aware, but at least look at this information yourself and I are talking about or presenting, and do with it what they may.
Exactly, and that's.
But at least be aware, because if you're aware of these types of beings and the agenda that's set in place and the manipulation and how it's done, you don't need to do any more. I think just being aware of it is
exactly.
You can now know it's there, not empower it, and then go to what we were talking about like the other day, where this all leads to, which is self-responsibility, love, and taking your power back and breaking away from this vibration of crap.
Yeah.
Because that's the vibration. Even though it's still going to be in whatever dimension, there's a frequency to this crap, and therefore you can get out of it and be in a higher place of vibration of love. And it's all we can do is work on ourselves, and if enough of us do it, that's, you know, as a collective, that's going to start to come into sort of like a critical mass situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I should have said it before at the start, but the intent of giving the information is not to create fear, but to create awareness, and also the intent is to provide solutions to get out of that level of control that exists. Because that's the important thing, is to be able to step out of it, and we can.
And you really can't step out of it till at least you're aware of it.
Exactly.
Because there's a lot of people going around, love and light, and everything really is love and light. But a lot of these people don't get it because they don't know about the other side. And even these beings, these negative or whatever you want to say, self-serving entities, they're part of what's going on and they are part of the oneness. And we should give them as much love as we give ourselves that are aware of this. Because exactly. They're coming up and they're rising up too. We're pulling them along, like by their ankles going, you're coming to enlightenment, guys. You're coming with this shift. We love yous too. And they're like, no. But it's like, you know, we're doing it for their own good. And it's not really us. It's the collective of the universe as a whole. Because, like, you know, this shift that's going on is absolutely for everybody. And that's what got me, was in the start of thinking, is this for humanity? And then I'm realizing, no, this is bigger. And then I'm realizing this is for the entire universe, throughout all planes in between. We're all evolving. Mm-hmm. And that's what another thing too that I wanted to point out is that these guys are like our brother. They are part of us. They're like our brothers, our sisters, these whatever you want to call these beings. And we've got to drag them with us. And you got to do it with love. And of course, you know, things are going to play out how they want for them, but everything's got to evolve. So, you know, it's important, I think, that point.
Exactly. And it did take me a while to get to the point where I have respect for all beings, regardless of how they're portrayed. Because, you know, both sides sees the other side as being the bad side. So it's all perspective.
Yeah. And it's where you're at. You know, I think you have to go through a bit of the crap to get to that understanding. I did.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. The other, and this is the controversial part, and as
ooh,
I said...
Oh, here we go.
Yeah. What you choose to believe is what you choose to believe. I'm not telling you to believe anything that I say. Only think for yourself. It was interesting because I still remember this. I was about 5 years old. I was in school and they had scripture. And there was a guy, you know, drawing these... the drawings are pretty good. But he was telling the story of, I don't know, it was a religious story anyway, but even at the age of 5, I remember thinking that this isn't true. You know, what he was saying wasn't true. And all I will say about religion is anything that takes your power away or you're giving your power to something else is not truth. The power is inside you. You don't need to look outside yourself for the power. So really, the one that you need to believe in is yourself.
And wanting to know more and wanting to awaken, that intent, again, draws to you the answers or the awakening process you need.
Exactly.
Because a lot of people come to me for answers and it's like, I literally say you've got everything within you. You can do what I can do and vice versa. But how the experience and the awakening unfolds is different. And I look back now when I've been really pissed off at times and then I realise later what happened, the process had to happen for me to be where I am now. But the intent, again, is what activates this awakening in your journey and the synchronicities. So, like you say, everybody, you know, they've got it in them. They've got everything within them, and that's a very good, important point because, and I agree, like, I've seen Joshua and I've seen some of these beings, and I was just, when this started happening, I was just like, you know, you've got to be kidding me, you've got extraterrestrials, interdimensional beings, you've got ascended masters, and I'm like, I was the same, a lot of the religious stuff was just like, whoa, it just didn't seem right, and yeah, give us 10% of your shit, you know? Or just, you know, taking the power away from the individual and not keeping them away from the God within.
Exactly.
And in saying that, I'm not saying, you know, that a lot of these people in the Bible or the Quran or whatever aren't real, but I think what's happened is the powers that be, from the information I got from Shiji, has been manipulated because they couldn't hide who these beings were.
Exactly.
Because of word of mouth. So yeah. What better way to keep these guys alive, their memory, but incorporate it into books that we'll write and manipulate you with, you go to hell if you don't do what I say, or give me 10% of your shit, or you cast your, you know, these demons out, and it's just shit, really. But it's an important point, and I'm not saying, you know, if people got a problem with what I'm saying, that's fine, but I know truth and I've got to speak my truth now. You know what, yep. I mean? When I know what I know.
Exactly.
But at the same time, I respect them for thinking what they want, as long as they respect me for what I say. Because there's a lot of times I have a lot of that poured on me, like yourself, probably, you know, this preacher crap, whatever. But at the end of the day, you know, you've got to respect one another. But it's, you know, you don't want to force open the mouth and pour it down there. You know, it's like, come on, let's have a bit of respect either way. And I respect you for how you've gone about with what you've said, because that's very important, is that the religion thing needs to be looked at as much as controversy as it is. But like Joshua was saying, yeah, you're all gods. Exactly. Why was he saying that to a crowd? You know, because they all are a cell of God.
Exactly.
But no, Jesus was the Son of God. You know what I mean? Like, you know... We'll spin it around. We'll keep what he said in there, but we'll spin it around.
Mm-hmm.
And look at what's happened from it.
Yeah. The truth is that humans have abilities that are so amazing and so beautiful. You don't realise it because of how, through the information that's been portrayed, it's disconnected and distracted humans. You know, abilities like telepathy, teleportation. Humans have the abilities to...
Creation by thought.
Yeah, exactly. I could... Yeah, this is sort of gets into the more of the quantum
physics. No, go there, because that's where I go with a lot of stuff. It goes out there. And even if you're going to do someone's head in, I think they need it.
Humans have the ability to open portals, and that's pretty special because it's not something that's natural to a lot of beings.
Even the telepathic side of what we can do far exceeds many beings, from my understanding. There's a lot of beings that can, you know, do telepathy at a certain range, but with humanity, we can do it to any point in space in so-called time, throughout any plane. Not all the beings can do that.
Exactly.
And we're very unaware of how, not special, but how our wide range of abilities and how evolved they are compared to some races that know who we are, and they're sort of jealous in a way because they're like, these dudes don't know who they are and what they can do, and here we are, we know what we can do, and we're nowhere near where they're at, you know, like we're way past where they're at, but So I understand, and that's fascinating you say that about the portal.
Yeah, well, there was an event that happened not so long ago, but there was a group of people, there was something happening, and I opened a portal to pretty much, I guess, suck out this energy that wasn't meant to be there. Now, I didn't say anything to anyone that I'd done that, but one of the others who is clairvoyant said to me that she saw a portal open up exactly where I opened it up, and you know, explained to her what I did and why I did it. And there was another person that was in the room that actually felt the energy of the portal was sucking out stuff from that person. So it was two people, that one person that felt it, one person that saw it. So
now, I've had similar stuff happen, but it's happened when I'm healing. Now, and it's doing energy work, but basically the same shit you're saying, which just blows me out. Now, when that happened, like, I don't use it much when it's sort of like, for some reason, like, my higher self or my higher level of consciousness is going, right, this has got to be done. Is that how it was for you?
Yes.
It's not like a routinely thing or whatever. It's like, we can move energies around and weird stuff, but... So that's how it works for you too. It's not like I'm going to open a portal and...
No. Yeah, it's just... I was in the middle of a healing, and it's kind of like you just get this thought, but I... got to do this, got to open the portal. And
that's how it works for me with that, yeah.
Yeah, and the intent for opening the portal, because that's very important, what the intent is. Humans have the ability to travel through time. And a lot of some of the craft that use how do I explain it? It's like the seat that you sit in is like a massive amplifier of thought that amplifies thought to such a level that it can interact with the fabric of all that is. So to travel through time, it's just amplifying the thought that exists with humans. And also other beings that use it as well. But the important thing is humans have already got that process or the ability. But it's just a matter of, focusing upon yourself and moving into the heart and moving out of that fear, anxiety field, because that's what sort of reduces our vibration and stops a lot of that stuff happening.
And work on yourself in doing this, eh? It's like, don't try and change people around you or whatever, because at the moment, those in line with you who have been around you are going to stick around. Those who are in line with you that you don't know yet who are meant to come into your life, will come into your life. Those that aren't are going to go. So you don't worry about changing out there, because soon enough, if that's where you're coming from, that place of love, and you're working on you, those like-minded will actually come into your life, and you're not going to be alone. And it's not an easy thing. People think, I'm going to get enlightenment overnight, but it's a process, and there will be roadblocks put in your way by these different levels of manipulation. And you know, whether it's money, education, you know, entertainment, the way society dictates this and that, or even your family and friends, you know, a lot of stuff that a lot of experiences know, maybe, I don't know if you've experienced, but like the family saying, do this and do that, this isn't real, and, you know, and it hurts because it's family, but it's like, at the same time, this is my reality, that's yours.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's so much dictated onto us. But then you've got to get to the point where you've got to accept that for what it is, but know that you can change it by working on you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. that's another level of control, and that sort of, you've got the government, which is not really, you know, you look at the Australian government, and not really a government, they're a corporation. If you look on the...
it's more like a business.
Yeah, if you look at the American Securities Exchange, and if you do a search for the Commonwealth of Australia, it will, you will see it. And there's documents there you can look at, and there's names that are, you know, of people that were associated with the government at that time. And you look, the, and there was information about the, the Treasury, you know, and when you hear it mentioned on TV, it's always, the, you know, the Treasury, but that's only a short name, and, like, each state's got their own Treasury, and, like, for New South Wales, it's New South Wales Treasury Corporation, and for ACT, it's ACT Treasury Corporation. They're all corporations. So if they're corporations, who are the shareholders? And
I find that it's a lot of these people that intercross with the big oils and the bankers and, you know, mainly America and England. Like, anything that those two countries do, we will do. And it really lies behind where you're talking about. And basically, at the end of the day, the governments, in this case our corporation, is going to react to what's happening in the stock market, and so do the banks react to that. So basically, whoever runs the stock markets and the banks runs the governments, because the governments have to react by what's done with that. And it's not a, it's a very few people behind those scenes that are manipulating all that, because they don't understand it's a chain reaction type event.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Look, there was one Prime Minister of Australia when he got in. Wasn't long after he actually got in that he was approached by one of the American families.
Which one? Which Prime Minister was this?
I won't mention the name.
Wasn't Hawke?
No, it wasn't Hawke. It was before Hawke.
Good old Bob Hawke could drink a yard glass or whatever it's called. Yeah.
But this, after he got in, he was approached by members of that. An influential American family, anyway. And what they said to him was that you either join the club. If you join the club, you'll have a long prime ministership. If you don't join the club, you'll have a short, you know, short term as prime minister. So by joining the club, it meant that followed what they wanted him to do. And you've only got to look at the state of the government and see that it's not really in alignment with the people, you know. And maybe all the prime ministers have been approached by, you know, that family when they got in. And
you wouldn't be talking about the dude that was around at the time of Pine Gap was getting started. And I can't even remember the Prime Minister's name at the moment, so you're probably lucky because you didn't want to say who it was, but there was a lot of crap going on with that.
I think that was Gough Whitlam.
Whitlam, yeah, that's who I was thinking about. So, yeah. But that's how it would be, is that I honestly believe that some, and you look at, even here in Australia, I can't remember the percentage, but a large percentage of our Prime Ministers have actually also been Freemasons. And then I think 38 presidents in America were Freemasons. But I think a large majority of them do think, I stand for change, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And they might fully believe it. But once they get into power, and those that backed up the funding for them going around parading that I'm running for president or, you know, whatever, once they do get into power, it's like, hey, if you do this, it's going to screw with my interests, and I can just get rid of you as quick as Lucia. And I think that Kevin Rudd, in a way, was... I don't think he was the best dude or the worst dude, but I think he may have wanted to do some things that he thought was pretty good. And it's like, well, guess what? We're going to put Julia Gillard in just to piss you off and to do what we want.
Yep.
And then she probably pissed him off and they put Rudd back in. They knew that Labor wasn't going to stay and Liberal's going to be here any darn time. So if overseas people looked at it, like, I think America's political system is... I actually think the whole world's political system is a joke. But if they, the world looked at ours in the last few years, I think they could see... Because now the average Joe, as you know, here in Australia, is sort of like, it doesn't matter if it's Liberal or Labor. We've seen what happened with voting, that we voted for Rudd and we didn't get to vote him out.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It was their own people that did it. And that's what pissed me off, was that the people voted for him to come in. But at the end of the day, that didn't matter because they kicked him out without, you know. So it makes a mockery of it. And I think, you know, that's what happens. And is that what you think happens too, is that there's interest behind the scenes that manipulate what they're implementing,
yeah,
if it goes against the status quo or, you know, the controlling mechanism?
Yeah. It's all orchestrated. So, and this is, people believe that, you know, Liberals one government, Labor's another government, and really, all the same thing. It doesn't matter who gets voted in, because once they're in, they have to abide by the people above them anyway. So, you know, so it's the people above them that control the governments, but then above them you've got other interdimensional beings that work or control, you know, the military and...
who I call the reptilian dildo bangers.
Yeah.
But it goes even further back, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like, to many... A lot of people think, oh, it stops at the reptilians or the Draco reptilians, but as you and I know, you've still got the interdimensional aspect, but when you deal with those type of entities that are behind it, which you could say are... like, you've seen the shark dudes, and that's what got me. I had a lady talk to me about that, never knew of anyone else interacting with them, like the shark humanoids. Then you've got the beings that you saw in America, not the little dudes we're talking about, the other beings, the bluish greys.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And this is where, you know, there's so many... It goes beyond the so-called reptilian agenda, and... What would you say on what I understand of, and this has been part of my interactions, that a large majority of the reptilians are actually being overshadowed, like they overshadow us.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say that you've had similar information or experiences to lead you to that conclusion?
Yeah, exactly. From what I was told and shown, that these shark beings, if you want to call them that, because they have got like a hammerhead type thing. When I saw them, I knew that they had not been here for a while, like a long time, but they'd come back. But even though... Okay. So they...
You felt they were ancient as hell. Like going back way back.
Yep.
Yeah.
So they, from what I understand, they brought, or they, the reptilians was brought here, seated here, whatever you want to say. And not only those, but, you know, under them you've got other beings. And it's not just limited to the greys, there is other beings. But, and they were left here by these other beings, the ones that are the hammerhead type ones, and they've come back now. And these guys are masters in manipulation and control. And as I said, I don't want to create fear, because there is ways.
It's just best for people to be aware, and you make it for the information what they want, mate, like we said,
And that's where it's important to take back your own power. Think for yourself. Just by doing that, you're stepping out of the level of control. And it's not about, rioting in the streets, because that's no solution. It's about moving.
I don't even think protesting helps.
No, it doesn't.
Or signing petitions. Or driving around with a sticker on your car that says whatever, you know what I mean? But I think just in here.
Exactly.
And just
because
that thought helps.
Yeah. That's where intent comes into play, and it's not just you're one person, it's collective. And by creating that, you know, we call it the law of attraction, because you create a resonance field, and any other being that resonates in that field will be attracted to you. So if you're resonating from a point of unconditional love, and you will attract beings of unconditional love. But if you're resonating in from a level of fear, you're going to attract beings of fear. And it's that simple. That's why they try and keep you in that level of fear and anxiety, and, because that's what we're attracting.
Well, now it's hard too for people, because with the process, with the energies throughout the cosmos, and especially where we're situated, there's a lot of cleaning up baggage at the moment. And in saying that, the female energies are now aligning with the male energies. So I've talked about that with you guys, like a lot of people lately, and it's some couples are arguing, but they're actually not arguing. They don't even know what the hell is going on. And it's because the female energies are raising back in line with the males, because for so long females have been down here, which is so wrong. Now they're coming up here, but it's going like that a bit, because you know, the energy's going up and down, because it's trying to just get in line again with the male energies.
Mm-hmm.
In saying that, that there's a lot of people that will be leaving your life and coming into it. So there's a whole range of stuff that's going on at the moment. But for people to know that, so long as they put their intent on the outcome and the society or the life that they want, and do it with love, there's going to be this sort of process of going through crap, but it's going to get better. And it just being aware of these type of beings and the manipulation opens you up even more, because it opens up your brain in terms of, if you can see how this is possible, at least you can see how this other thing is possible. And it's like a domino effect again, where it opens up the range. So right now there's a lot of cleaning up going on, but like you said, it's time for people to take their power back.
Yeah. Also, I wanted to mention about the fluoride in the water.
Yeah, yeah.
Look, and the solution is look for...
Drink beer.
Yeah.
No, don't do that, Phil. I don't even drink.
Same here. I can't drink alcohol. I just can't. It affects me.
I had half of one a while ago, and I was pissed off half a beer, and I'm like, no, no, no. And then I had to sleep, because it's just, you know what I mean? It doesn't resonate with you.
Yeah.
Once you get to a certain point.
So look for bottled water that doesn't have fluoride. That's because, look, it's amazing how synchronicity works. I come into contact with a neuroscientist.
Yeah.
And he was working on what causes... mental blank. What causes Alzheimer's? And so she was looking at the proteins in the brain before Alzheimer's and after. And anyway, we got talking about neurotoxins. And I mentioned fluoride. And what she said to me was, she said, oh yes, that's, they put that in the water to make people obedient.
Well, that's what they did with the Nazi death camps.
Exactly.
I believe they put the same crap in the same... And I heard that at school. And then by, I'd say early high school. Then the time when I'm leaving high school, I'm hearing that they're going to put it in the water. And I'm like, didn't I get told that that's what they did? Because it sort of dumbs them down. So they're not, not thinking for themselves as much.
Yeah, exactly. So even if you read the packet on your toothpaste, it actually tells you if you actually swallow it to contact your doctor or poisons, because it is poisonous.
That's just mental, isn't it?
Yeah. So that's another solution, is, you know, get water that's not fluoride, or that hasn't got fluoride in it, and you will notice the difference.
Or go to the car wash and get the pressure washer.
Exactly.
Just use water. But that's a good point to make, and along with other things like as clean as you can get fresh fruit and veg, you know, and doing a little bit of exercise in terms of, even if it's just a walk, getting out in nature and sitting down for 5 minutes and just absorbing nature. You know, these are little sort of things that get you in touch with you, and it's going to make it easier for you to get in touch with you by eating natural type things and having clean water and... that type of thing. And that's a great point to make, that, you know, bringing up the fluoride, because there is a lot to it. And there are scientists now backing up that there's something to it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Another mental blank. Yeah. It's all an illusion.
Yes, it is an illusion. It's a holographic matrix. And I'm sorry, would you like to continue?
Yeah, no, it's all right. Well, we can wrap it up there if you want. We've just hit an hour. And we can wrap it up there if you want, and I'll get you back on next time once you've... Because at the moment, Brad's getting into it, starting the book on this. And I, like I said to him, what happens with myself and many other people when writing it... You know a lot of the layers and everything that's going on now, and there'll be stuff that you, just like me and a lot of people, you'll connect more dots of stuff that you'll think, how blind was I to see this? And a lot of it will be stuff that we haven't picked up on too, because it's you doing your journey. And I'd like to talk to you just later on about this more and more, because it does happen. Like, you know what synchronicity is now. But when you do something like this, it kicks up a notch, and you're like, you know, this is pretty trippy stuff, and you learn more, in a way. It's basically relearning what you already know.
Yeah.
But I really look forward to talking to you soon and going a bit more in depth into it, because there's going to be a lot of good, and I think it will be something that will be of benefit to people that are into this, or that would like to read and know more a bit about manipulation, the beings behind it, and how it's really up to us whether the manipulation does take effect or not. So we'll wrap it up there, Brad, but I appreciate you coming on the show and taking the time to do it. And it's always a pleasure talking to you.
Well, thank you. It's likewise, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. And look, I really do hope that the people listening and watching this, you know, get a lot out of it, because it is time to really take back your power. It's amazing times. We have such an opportunity and potential to create a better world. We do, and it's very important based on where we are in this timeline.
Nah, hear, man. Nah, it's definitely important right now, and now is the time. So we'll wrap it up there, Brad, and sure. Cheers for being on, mate.
Thank you.
Thank you. Talk soon, mate. Cheers.